Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share she is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal series, five wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer Breast Health Exclamation Point, The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, and Susan's latest book, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way. In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses at the Wise Woman University. But you can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Thank you so much, Justine, and thank you for all the years of work that you've done on the website, to make the website user-friendly, to make the website chock-full of information you can trust. I was just telling my friends about a wonderful experience that I had yesterday. I have a driveway, a long driveway between my house and the road, and down on the road is the apprentice house, and I was walking late in the afternoon, after the goats had been put in the barn, was walking down this long dirt driveway toward the apprentice house, and suddenly two woodpeckers flew in front of me. Not the really huge woodpeckers we have, but, you know, fairly good-sized woodpeckers, the male and the female, and the male with this little red hat. When they lit on a tree right in front of me, oh, maybe like three arm's lengths away, and they're pecking away and testing the wood and spiraling around and chit-chitting back and forth with each other and trading places. It was kind of a tree with two trunks, a small tree with two trunks, and they would one would be on one trunk and the other on the other, and then they chit-chit-chit and they trade places. I was having such a wonderful time watching the woodpeckers, and I was just dimly aware that I was hearing the song of a cardinal, very loud, and suddenly the cardinal flew in and landed right there in the driveway in front of me. It was beautiful. Male cardinal, flash of red. And did not scare the woodpeckers away. So there was the three of them. And then some goldfinches flew by and they're in their fall gold plumage. And they're like little gold coins dancing in the air. And the mourning doves were singing. It was I just looked about me and my heart was so happy and so overjoyed that nature is always willing to provide me with a miracle. How are you doing tonight, Rebecca?
I'm doing well, yeah. We have quite the bird sanctuary out at our place, too. We have two resident red-tailed hawks that live out here, and just a ton of hummingbirds, and, yeah, we have goldfinches and just a ton of birds out here. It's really amazing to watch.
It sure is. But a hummingbird buzzed me the other day. I was doing something in the garden, and this hummingbird just about took off my earlobe.
I can't believe how aggressive hummingbirds are, actually. They're quite the, I mean, with each other, and you think of them as these, like, nice, delicate little birds, but really they're really aggressive with each other. They don't like to all feed at the hummingbird feeder at the same time. Only one of them can go in at a time. They're funny little birds.
They are such little little spots of beauty winging about.
Mm-hmm.
So we have another twosome for our interview tonight, Karen Amster-Young and Pam Godwin. And they have a new book out called 52 Weeks, which is based on their blog. So I guess we will have to just hang out until 9 o'clock when we will hear from Karen and Pam and find out what on earth 52 Weeks is.
Sounds good. We have two callers waiting right now. Are you ready to go into some questions?
I certainly am. Thank you, Rebecca.
All right. In the 507 area code.
Hello. Hello.
Good evening and green blessings.
Well, green blessings to you, Susan. And first, I'd just like to say thank you for being. You've been a guiding light and an inspiration to me for years and years now. So I would like to thank you. And I have a question tonight. Hello?
Yes, I said I have received your praise with very great pleasure, and please go ahead with your question.
Okay, thank you. Well, my question tonight is, I have a one-year-old grandson, and he, since he was born, has had like a rattly sound in his lungs, which the doctors pretty much dismissed and said he would outgrow it. Since then, they've tried to say it was maybe asthma or allergies and this and that. And I had my daughter take him off sugar and white flour and do some dietary adjustments, and it hasn't cleared up. And they're baffled now. They're saying it could be a collapsed airway or something else. I don't know. But my question is, is there anything that I can do for him to help strengthen his respiratory system? Can I give him red clover? Can I give him nettle? What can I do?
Yes, you can give him red clover. Yes, you can give him nettle. Red clover, nettle, all of the nourishing herbal infusions are food. And they're
okay.
Absolutely, they're safe during pregnancy. They're safe during lactation. They're safe to give to premature infants. They're safe to give to children of any age. So that would definitely be good. Now, my personal favorite for strengthening the lungs and restoring health to the lungs is mullein.
Okay.
And I make a mullein leaf infusion the standard way. 1 ounce of dried mullein in a quart jar filled to the top with boiling water, stirred, more water added if needed, a tight lid put on it, allowed to steep 4 hours or overnight. It will turn almost the color of coffee. It's very dark.
Okay.
Now, there is something a little different that we have to do, and that is mullein is very hairy. So rather than straining the infusion through some kind of sieve, it's best if it's strained through cloth.
Okay.
And that
strained
can be,
through cloth.
I mean, through cloth, that can be anything from what I used to use when my mom was still alive and I would visit her. I would take her stained linen napkins. And she would say, what are you going to do with those? And I would say, you'd rather not know.
Oh, I love it. So is there a certain dosage of mullein?
But I'll tell you, you know, in a pinch, I have strained it through like a washcloth in a motel room. So whatever clean fabric you have, just so that you don't get the hairs, because they can be irritating. Now we have our mullein infusion. And the way that we want to actually consume it is as mullein milk. Milk, of course, is the great healer of the lungs. Milk is herbal medicine. It's herbal medicine in white form. And so we want to take our mullein infusion, mix it half and half with milk, and if you want to, sweeten it with a little honey.
Okay.
This makes an absolutely delicious, delightful drink. You will wind up making twice as much because you'll be drinking it too.
Okay. Well, I have
really
never tried mullein.
Yeah. You know, all of us have been part of that party game called telephone where I say something to you and you say something to the next person and so on. And by the time it gets around the room, it's very changed, right?
Yes.
You know the game I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yes. So I think that cellular replication is a variation of telephone.
Okay.
So that
Silly.
It is, yes, and especially if there's some genetic difference, then the message can get distorted very quickly. For many people, it takes a lifetime for the messages to get distorted. For some people, it can happen faster. And mullein, in my poetic way of putting it, contains the original message for the lungs. So when we're drinking mullein infusion, mullein goes in and says, all right, everybody, listen up. This is what the message is, and this is how you have to behave.
I love it. That's beautiful. I was also wondering, I mean, it's my belief that everything physical starts as in the spirit, right? And, you know, we perceived there was some dark energy directed at my daughter's womb during the time of her pregnancy, which we perceived as daggers later, and we did some energy work on her. And I'm just wondering now about the little boy, if we shouldn't maybe do some energy work on him as well.
I certainly have nothing against energy work. I will chime in here, however, with my belief system.
Okay.
And my belief system is that all human beings are loving and caring. I personally do not believe in evil, and I personally do not support racism by calling things that I don't like dark.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I don't believe that it was intentional. I believe that it was...
I don't think that there's malevolent entities on any level. I truly don't. And I do not say that maybe you do. That's fine if you want to. I'm simply chiming in and saying what you're talking about, you want to do some energy work, I have nothing against it. But what you're telling me, for me, has as much validity as the Easter Bunny.
Okay. Well, that's, you know what, that's actually takes a load off me. And a little bit of worry off me, too, then. I'm actually relieved to hear that you don't believe in that stuff. So,
good. And furthermore, I do not think that everything physical starts in the spiritual.
You don't? Okay.
No. Because basically that's saying that the spiritual is better than the physical.
Oh,
and that has not been my experience. My experience is it works the other way around, that we have incarnated, we have become physical beings so our spirit can have experiences.
Right. That's completely upside down than what I've kind of read about and been taught. So I'm very interested in that. It's you know, because what I've been taught is everything starts in the emotional body and goes inward. So to think of it the opposite way is very interesting to me.
Yes, it changes the gestalt.
Yes, it does. So with the mullein milk, how often should I give that to him?
As much as he's willing to drink. Again, it's nutritive.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you live in a place where there's mullein, which is all of the United States, now's a good time to harvest it.
Okay. I've never harvested it before, but I'm sure I can identify it, and if not, I'll purchase it from a known place that is trustworthy.
There you go. I would suggest purchasing it from a known place because it will take some time to dry it.
Okay.
Do purchase some, and then if you want to, mullein is also called flannel leaf plant. The leaves look like gray, fuzzy bunny slippers, and it's quite tall, often flowering at 6 to 8 feet.
Oh, I believe I've seen that before. Is it a relative of wild tobacco?
No, but it looks like it, doesn't it?
It does. I think, yeah.
Yeah. And I harvest it much like wild tobacco by cutting the whole flowering stalk and hanging the whole stalk upside down.
Okay.
And then when I make my mullein infusion, I do use stalk part too because there's a mild sedative in the stalk. And I find that very helpful if there's coughing or if there's inflammation in the lungs.
Okay. Yes, he does cough quite a bit, and it's very mucousy. So I don't know what's going on, but I'm hoping mullein can solve the riddle for us, and it's something that can be easily solved.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. Green blessings. And give
Green
a call
blessings
and
to you.
And let us.
Hey. Okay, I will do that. Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
I have some mullein that's hanging behind me right now, and it's been in here for about 3 weeks, and I think it's just getting dry.
It's a while for the mullein to dry.
Yeah, I give it to my son in a sippy cup while we're reading books, because he coughs a lot at night, but the mullein helps a lot, so...
Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, we love the mullein milk. So, in the 503 area code.
Hello? Hello,
Green
can you hear me?
Hello.
Thank you.
Yes.
Great blessings to you. This is so wonderful of you to answer our questions. And I just love your whole approach to herbalism. I've been reading your book since the 90s, and I love it, and I'm totally into wild plants. The question that I have is, I broke my ankle and my wrist at the same time, and I was in a cast for 2 months on my ankle, and on my wrist, the radius bone was broken into several pieces, and so they put a titanium plate in there to hold the bone together while it healed, and I was in a cast for that time. And after getting out of the cast, the ligaments and tendons shortened, and they still are shortened, and I'm working with a wonderful physical therapist, and I'm getting acupuncture. And so here's my question for you. Are there whatever suggestions you may have? And then I was thinking specifically of herbs to take internally or to use as poultices that may help the ligaments and tendons to loosen up and go back to their flexible, normal positions.
Comfrey.
Okay. Internally and as a poultice?
I often say that comfrey only affects the skin, the bones, the ligaments, the tendons, and the mucous surfaces of the digestive, reproductive, and respiratory systems. Other than that, comfrey does little to nothing. However, the things that it does affect, it affects by making them stronger and more flexible. Now,
okay.
My usual take on a broken bone is that as soon as you can swallow, you start drinking comfrey.
Okay. I have not yet been
and
taking comfrey, but
you don't have
I can
to be in a cast for months because you heal in half the usual time.
Oh, I wish I had known that. Huh.
I wish you had called, and I could have told months ago, but you can still use comfrey now.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you know, drinking comfrey. Sure, if you want to do compresses with it, I personally think it's more effective internally than externally, but I have nothing against your doing compresses or poultices. That's all good. It's all,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So what, how much do you recommend?
I would think, however, and this is something that I've experienced for myself in rehabilitating myself from certain injuries, that working with a therapist is excellent, and I hope she or he is giving you homework, and there's something
okay.
that you're doing a dozen times a day.
Yeah. Yeah, he's giving me plenty of homework. And
okay, good.
Yeah, and he's also doing gua sha, which is phenomenal.
Isn't
not,
it,
are
though?
You,
is he actually doing gua sha on your wrist?
On my ankle, mm-hmm. And it really loosens it up.
All
yeah.
right. Incredible technique. And much
yeah.
closer to the origins in China than acupuncture is.
Really?
Yes, acupuncture was never traditionally done in China.
Really? So my acupuncturist said that gua sha was originally done with spoons in the kitchen.
Correct.
You know, just
and
that cupping and, also was just using whatever was handy. You know, the women in the kitchen just
right.
using their common sense. I love it.
And because this is the origin of it, the acupuncture as using needles was popularized by Mao. So we're talking less than 100 years.
Really?
Yeah, it's fairly new. What was used before was moxibustion, gua sha, and cupping.
Wow.
But we see the same kind of thing happening because, right, cupping, gua sha, right? These are the kinds of things that we can do in our kitchens, in our homes. Acupuncture, oh, now we have a needle. Now we have to be sterile. Now we have to get licenses.
Yeah. Interesting.
So it's not just herbal medicine, it's that it's people's medicine. This was all people's medicine.
Oh. Well, we got to bring it back. I do have some moxa, too, so I can do
hey.
Some. Yeah. And what dosage do you recommend for the comfrey tea?
I don't use comfrey tea. I make an infusion. I weigh out 1 ounce of comfrey.
Oh, okay.
In a quart jar. I fill the jar to the top with boiling water. I personally add 1 stalk of red-flowered bergamot because I like the taste in my comfrey. Put a tight lid.
Okay.
It's 1 stalk. Leaves and flowers of the bergamot, and you can't buy it commercially, but if you want to use like lemon balm or mint, that's okay. Just a tiny, tiny amount, not even so much that you'd really taste it. Put a lid on it and let it steep for 4 hours or overnight, which is my preference. It's far,
okay.
far stronger than it.
And how much should I drink?
When I'm healing from an injury, my goal is to drink 3 to 4 quarts of comfrey per week.
Okay. I know I did try a comfrey poultice once when I sprained my ankle, and I was completely blown away at how beneficial it was. And I also learned don't have any fancy ideas for what I'm going to do with the cloth I use for the poultice afterwards because it stains it forever. So,
true.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I do wish I'd called sooner.
It's okay.
I only learned about
think of how many people who are listening are going, oh, hooray, I'm so glad she asked that question.
Okay, yes. I only learned about this a little while ago, that I could call in like this. And
we need to make use of this information. May you never break another bone.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes.
But I do have a couple of questions for you, if you would be kind enough to answer them.
Certainly.
Did you break these bones because you fell from a height?
Yes, I fell... I was walking in a dark parking lot, and there was a place where the parking lot, where there was a drop-off of 3 feet, and it wasn't marked with anything, and I was not thinking about, I was thinking about what I'd done at the meeting. I wasn't thinking about, wasn't watching where I was going. So use a flashlight in a dark parking lot. Yeah, I fell 3 feet. It was quite far.
And could you characterize your diet for us?
Yeah, you might not like this. I'm a raw vegan and have been for 14 years.
A lot. I like it a whole lot because it proves my point.
And that is?
It's an inadequate diet. There's no reason that falling 3 feet should have broken any bone at all. Certainly
really,
not
I mean,
shattered.
3 feet? Hmm.
3 feet is not that far. I have fallen further and not broken anything.
Really?
Your diet is inadequate. Thank you. I was pretty sure that would be the answer.
Huh. Interesting.
So I have an apprentice here. What did you think her answer would be?
Vegan.
How come you think that?
Because a lot of people that call in have a similar problem.
Yeah. Virtually anyone who calls in with a broken bone or bone problems or osteoporosis is a vegan or vegetarian or raw food. They're inadequate diets. Please, for me, would you start eating a quart of yogurt a week? You know,
okay.
It's bacteria shit. It's not an animal. It doesn't come from an animal. It comes from bacteria. Bacteria eat the milk and they shit out yogurt. So eat some bacteria shit for me, please.
Okay. And as far as that goes, I'm listening to you, but I also, I mean, I'm seriously listening. I live in Portland, Oregon. And we actually did get zapped by radiation from Fukushima. And the milk was measuring high in radioactivity directly after Fukushima, and now they don't measure it anymore, which is not a good sign. So what counsel can you give me about that?
What I have to say about that is you are wrong. And the information that you got is from scaremongers. I am friends with a person who is an expert on radioactive remediation.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, there never was any real measurable amount, beyond what's regularly there. So let's put this in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of radiation released by Fukushima is less than the amount of radiation released by the above-ground atomic bomb tests in the 50s in the United States.
Oh, yeah, I believe that. But
that amount of radiation is less than the normal background radiation of the planet as a whole. There is no radioactive danger to any human being except those who were in the immediate vicinity. And you know, there are still people living at Chernobyl.
Yeah, people who, they just wanted to be in their homes.
That's right, and they're still living there. And they're still as well as they ever work. You know, and the area around there where people moved out is now a wildlife sanctuary with rare birds and animals and plants that they hadn't seen for a century. I don't think it really does to turn ourselves into delicate things. I prefer sturdy human beings.
Now,
the more we limit ourselves, the more delicate we become. The greater our flexibility, the sturdier we are. That's what I define as health.
And a quart of yogurt a week is enough to that's enough to to change the pattern.
Yes, it is. Are you drinking nourishing herbal infusions?
I hadn't been, no, to tell you the truth. I think they're a good idea, but I wasn't doing it.
Well, comfrey is a nourishing herbal infusion, and it's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be drinking four quarts a week. On the other days when you're not drinking comfrey, drink oat straw or drink stinging nettle.
Okay.
And ask yourself why it is that you hate animals. And listen to me.
I don't hate animals.
Listen to me.
Okay.
If I told you that I loved you so much that I would never speak to you and I would never allow you in my house, would you feel loved?
No.
Think about it. Green blessings.
Green blessings to you. Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to the next caller. In the 732 area code.
Hi. I had two questions. One is about a weed I have growing in my yard. My mother insists it's Sweet Annie, and I think it's Crohn's wort. Do you have any suggestions on how we might tell the two apart, or what I'm looking at apart from the other?
Yes, they're actually very easy to tell apart. Sweet Annie
okay.
is very ferny. It has a
okay.
very delicate cut leaf, kind of like yarrow or chamomile.
Mm-hmm.
And Crohnwort has a bigger, denser leaf, and the leaf is quite white on the back. Whereas Sweet Annie, the leaf is so finely cut that there doesn't really seem to be a front and a back. Crohnwort
generally... It has almost
generally,
like a...
Crohnwort generally grows very high and in dense clumps. In clumps so dense that nothing else can grow where the Crohnwort is growing. And by high, I mean 5, 6, 7, 8 feet tall at flowering. Sweet Annie grows here and there, although there may be patches of it where there are 3 or 4, but it certainly doesn't form dense clumps because the Crohnwort is a perennial and it grows from the same roots every year, whereas the Sweet Annie is an annual and has to grow from seeds.
Okay, so the white on the back is like a white mesh almost?
Yes.
Okay, these aren't quite as tall as you're describing, but that may just be that they're only been growing here for a year or two. So, awesome, thank you. My other question is dealing with my thyroid. It was recently suggested to me that I started taking desiccated thyroid hormone because supposedly my thyroid isn't working well enough. Which makes me kind of laugh. And I didn't want to go and strongly start pursuing things in the scientific direction before I gathered more information about what natural resources I might have. So I didn't know what direction to start in that.
Do you have symptoms that would indicate that your thyroid is overproducing thyroid hormone or underproducing thyroid hormone?
Underproducing. I'm generally very foggy. I'm a little bit more sluggish than I remember myself being. I've only very recently started putting on a little bit of extra weight. So I have a lot of the, if you will, classic symptoms. And they're going, great, we've caught it early. And I'm sitting there going, but I don't want to be on medication my entire life.
So was a blood test done? And for what thyroid hormone was the blood test done?
I did a thyroid hormone on my TSH levels, and I said, well, that's not really looking at how the thyroid's acting. And then they looked at also my T3 and T4 levels because I insisted, and they were also a bit below where they were claiming they should be.
And forgive me if you told me, I don't remember how old you are.
Oh, I didn't say, so it's my fault. I'm 27.
Has there been any other change in your life that could give rise to these symptoms? A parent die, a big move, something major happen in your life?
No. These are actually symptoms that I've been noticing for a while, and due to charting my temperatures for fertility purposes, I've actually kind of presumed that this might be the direction things were going in, but I couldn't get any real firm evidence, if you will.
So now you have some evidence, which is the blood test.
Yes.
And my chapter on thyroid is in my menopause book. Don't get frightened by the word. It's okay. You don't have to be in menopause to get the book. And I'm looking on the bookshelf here. I see, I'm not at my house. I'm at my friend's house. And, gosh, I don't see the menopause one, honey. I see childbearing year. I see healing wise. Maybe she says she gives them away all the time. So I can't read to you from what's at. What I can tell you from memory is that Fucus, F-U-C-U-S, Fucus infusion, and that's literally an infusion, 1 ounce of dried Fucus,
mm-hmm.
the kind of seltzer.
Okay.
1 ounce of dried Fucus in a quart jar filled to the top with boiling water, and a half cup of that taken twice a day. Keep it refrigerated once it's brewed.
Okay. And this would be in addition to the nourishing herbal infusions that I'm already doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you this. If you put on a wolf skin, would you become a wolf?
No.
Then taking dried thyroid is not going to do much.
No, I do agree. One of the things that was suggested to me was to use it as a Band-Aid while I'm finding something so that I can keep up with, like, my three kids and working to get myself off of that.
What I'm saying is the emperor has no clothes.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to explain that a bit more, if that's okay.
Yes. There is no way that taking desiccated thyroid can have any influence on your thyroid gland any more than putting on a wolf skin makes you a wolf.
Well, yes, I agree. I wouldn't, it's not something I would be taking to improve my thyroid if I was choosing to take that. I'm not currently. It was suggested while we're actually improving whatever is going wrong. But I'm still kind of queasy about the idea.
You could just as well take a glass of water. It would do as much good.
Right, for fixing the thyroid, yes.
No. What I'm saying is that desiccated thyroid will have no effect. None.
Okay.
It's not a Band-Aid. It's a nothing. You would be better off taping the money you would spend on it on your throat as a Band-Aid.
Okay.
So, to be perhaps clearer, I'm saying it is a bogus treatment. And please, especially if you're the mom of three, save your money for things you need.
Yes. Yes.
There's nothing desperately wrong with your thyroid here. And I will also tell you truthfully that having three kids is enough to make anyone have the symptoms you have.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate all the wisdom you're sharing with me.
So I think that working with the nourishing herbal infusions, making sure that you have a well-rounded diet that includes some meat, some dairy products, good amounts of fish, that these things will be more helpful than taking desiccated thyroid.
Yes, and I agree. I was raised vegetarian, and so I'm transitioning my diet into including things. I was raised including eggs and milk and some fish, but I'm making those more staples in my everyday life. So,
your
yes.
children thank you. Your children's long-term health thanks you. And the farmers of America thank you, because the animals are the lifeblood of the farm.
So true. So true. Well, thank you so much. And I will find the fuca and start taking that and let you know how I start feeling.